It's a privilege to be here tonight in the house of God. I was doing some study, some personal Bible study some time back, and was reading these verses, this portion of Scripture in the book of Acts. If you want to be turning to the book of Acts, the 26th chapter of Acts, we'll start in the 24th verse. Fairly familiar portion of Scripture. But as I read it, some thoughts, I don't know if it was personal things I was going through, but some thoughts began to go through my mind. And when Pastor asked me a short time ago if I would be willing to speak tonight, these verses are what came back to my mind and to my heart. Acts 26, starting with the 24th verse. Paul's been questioned and he's been taken by the Romans. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." But he said, "I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth these things, before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost." We've heard that so often. "Almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, "This man doth nothing worthy of death or of bonds." Then said Agrippa unto Festus, "This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar." Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts before you this evening. Father, we ask that you would take these few simple words over the next few moments. Hide me behind your cross. Let these words touch a heart, a life tonight. We ask these things in your name. Amen. You know, politics hasn't changed a whole lot. Of course, we know we're in the midst of politicking right now, and it seems like it's just about the time we get through one urgent situation in our government, they come up with another one. But not much has really changed in politics. In the later years of the 19th century, what was to become South Africa was divided into two British colonies and two Boer republics. One was the state of Transvaal. Transvaal contained about 30,000 white male voters of Dutch descent and 60,000 of British who had been disenfranchised from voting. The 60,000 from Britain had been disenfranchised. Rhodes, the prime minister of the Cape Colony, wanted to encourage these disgruntled men who had been disenfranchised from their voting rights. And he believed that if he sent a force of armed men to overrun Johannesburg, an uprising would follow. By Christmas of 1895, a force of 600 men was placed under the command of a friend of his named Dr. Jameson. Back in Britain, the Colonel Secretary Joseph Chamberlain, who was the father of the to-be Prime Minister Chamberlain, had encouraged Rhodes' plan. But when he heard the raid was to be launched, he panicked at the last minute and changed his mind. He said, "If this thing was to go through, it would crush me. It would ruin me." Chamber ordered the governor of the Cape Colony to condemn the Johanna Jameson raid, as he called it, and he instructed all the workers there not to support it. But this was all behind the scenes. He was supporting it out front and trying to destroy it from behind. On December 29th, just a few days later, these men were led to a defeat. This Mr. or Dr. Jameson had another friend who was so moved by, you see, when Jameson was apprehended, he never said a word about what Chamberlain had done. He never said a word. He never spoke about the behind the scenes and what they had done to him and how they had supported him openly and then undermined him as well. He never uttered a word, and another friend of his took that to heart and a few years later wrote a poem which became one of my favorite poems. And I want to share that with you tonight before we continue. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowances for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired of waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good or talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat these two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you've gave your life to broken and stoop to build them up with worn-out tools, if you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginning and never breathe a word about your loss, if you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything is in it. And which is more? And he wrote this to his son, who was soon after to give his life in battle and never to be, actually he was never found. You'll be a man, my son. I don't know if you're as guilty as I am, but as I was reading this story of Paul, I began to think, what if? And I'd like to speak for just a few moments tonight on if. As I was reading this, and I got to that verse where Agrippa says to Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. You know, if we go clear back to chapter 21, the religious leaders are attacking Paul. He's facing threats from basically his own people. They're even considering death. And he's pulled out of that situation. The army, I guess you could say, stepped in and helped him out. There's a vow made to kill him. Several men gather together and make an oath that they'll not eat or drink. Once again, he's rescued by his nephew, who goes and shares that information. He's held by Felix for 2 years on these made-up charges. Festus seems to almost give in to political pressure from the Jews and offers to place Paul in harm's way. And we see in the 25th chapter, Paul appeals unto Caesar. He said, look, I'm not going to go back to Jerusalem. It's already been shared that there's some there that are seeking to do him harm if they bring him back. And he says, no, I'm not going to Jerusalem. I appeal unto Caesar. He gives a statement in his testimony We just read a portion of that. And they said, we can't find any fault with this man. There's nothing here. If we go and read on, a storm comes. Paul's traveling. Of course, he advised him. So I don't think it's a wise thing, but a storm comes. And as I was reading that, Brad, I thought, oh, here's another way out. I mean, he's headed to Rome. He's going to be questioned. He's already been told that by a prophet that he's going to be bound. And so he's headed to Rome, and here's a way out. There's a storm that comes. This could be his way out. He lands on an island. They eventually, although they have a little bit of differing opinions there at first, they eventually decide he must be a god. I mean, there's his answer. I mean, he's going to be freed here. But that's not the way it happens. You know, Kipling, as he wrote that poem, I believe there's about 11 different times through those verses that he says to his son, if you can. His challenge is continually, if you can. So often, I think, just as we see Paul here, we, in our flesh, we say, well, if only there was a way out. And I want to ask the question tonight, how many of us live in a world of if only, instead of if you can? Kipling, he challenges his son throughout this immortalization of a friend of his, that if you can continue on, if you can do this, and if you can do that, here is what it is. And as I was reading this, I wanted to ask us tonight, one, if we could continue the journey. If you have ever been in a situation, a traumatic situation, after a surgery, after an injury, you know, there's that rehabilitation time. There's that time when you go through the rehab process of whatever they're trying to strengthen. And it's a challenging thing. I've never been through that physically in that way. But those that have been through it say it's a grueling process. It's almost torturous, both physically and mentally. And whether or not we have faced a situation physically like that, and maybe you have, I feel that there's those here who are facing that situation emotionally, spiritually. You feel like you've been through a traumatic issue. You know, sometimes the hardest thing in the world is just to get out of bed and keep going, just to continue. I don't like to, you know, it's not comfortable to share, but I was thinking back several months back, some of you remember, Brian will, pastor had asked me to speak on a Wednesday night, and I woke up sometime between Tuesday and Wednesday with a wonderful kidney stone. And I was not able to speak that night. They didn't trust me. They didn't know what I might say under the influence of what the doctors had put in me. But prior to that, when pastor had asked me to speak, some of you know I've been through some ordeals. And I was feeling guilty. I was on some medication, and I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I am not saying there's anything wrong with taking medicine if it's needed. I'm not going down that road. But personally, for me, Sister Pat, that's what I felt. I felt that in my heart. And I remember, Brad, there was some Sundays. We've got a cedar chest in our bedroom. And there was a couple Sundays that I would sit on that cedar chest, and it was everything in me I could do. And my wife says, are you going to be all right? And I said, all you've got to do is somehow get me to church, and I'll be all right. Somehow just, you know, there was nothing in me that wanted to go that day. There was nothing in me in my flesh that wanted to move that day. I just couldn't function. And I said, just somehow get me to church. and it's going to be all right. I'm not saying that God couldn't be at home. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just, that was what was in my heart. I knew I needed to be amongst God's people. I needed to be in his house. I needed something there to strengthen me. And I made a choice at that point in time, Brad, to lay that medication aside. That's been over 6 months ago. I'm not going to say there hasn't been some rough, bumpy roads along the way, but God's been faithful. But I had to make a choice to continue, Brother David. I had to make that choice to push through. If we can continue that journey. Brother Leitner and I were in the car the other day listening to a program on the way to church. And we just catching the tail end of it. I'd picked him up and we were driving back. And the lady that was giving her story, she made a comment. She said she was telling all that her and her husband and her family had been through. And she said these words. She said, "I didn't pick the journey, but I walked it." And he looked at me and I looked at him. And he said, "What do you think about that?" And I said, "I think you've been down that road too." And I wonder how many others here tonight have been down that road where you didn't pick the journey. You didn't choose that path to walk on. But when it was placed before you, you walked it. We just have to continue. Also, if we could trust him. The choir just sang a song, "My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord, but also my hope is in you." Where else do we have to turn? Earlier, Paul is presented with a situation. He walks in and a man grabs his girdle and ties himself up and he says, "This is what's going to happen to the owner of this. You're going to be bound." And his friends, they jump in there and just like friends do. They started trying to convince, "Oh, don't go there. You can't do that. You got to avoid that situation." And he looked at him. He said, "Y'all are crazy." He said, "I'm perfectly, not only am I willing to be bound, but I'm willing to give my life for this." I got to thinking about that. You know, there's a passion a soldier has. I mean, I know there's just soldiers that join to get the free education, and I know those are out there, but I'm talking about a true soldier. I'm talking about somebody who really dedicates themselves. I mean, we hear stories about those that as they're together, and we've heard stories of they see a grenade drop, and one of them makes the decision, although there's no time to sit and contemplate, it's just an instinctual thing as he throws his body over that to protect his brothers. There was no time for thought. There was no time to give it consideration. It was something that was within his heart. And I thought, that's where Paul was. He said, I don't care what they do to me. This is a passion. This is a zeal that I have. And I'm going to continue. You know, sometimes it's hard to trust when we can't turn it loose. Sometimes we've got to turn it loose. That's the hardest thing for us to do is, you know, we're saying, "God, fix this, take care of this, go ahead and do it." But he's saying, "Turn it loose." I was talking with somebody a few days ago about a situation they had in their home with one of his daughters, and it was a dating situation, and she was dating a guy, or had been. He said he was a really nice guy, and the young man was very serious and very sincere. And he said something happened. He said, "I'm embarrassed. It's my daughter, but I'm embarrassed." He said, "But she started hanging out with this worthless guy. There's just nothing about him that I like." And he said this first young man came to him and he poured out his heart and he said, I want to support your daughter. I mean, he said everything you said was good and right. And he said, "I told him," he said, "I'm embarrassed." He said, "But I'm going to tell you, just call her up, tell her what you just told me, and hang up the phone and don't call her anymore. Give it to her." And I remember being advised that once. Said, if you want to know if something is really yours, Let it go. And if it comes back, it's yours. And I thought about that. If we really trust Christ to take care of our problems, can we just let him go? We want to wait until he's already, it's like we're holding on saying, now if you jerk it away from me, then I'll know you've taken care of it. And he's saying, release it. Release it. Let me have it. And see if I can't take care of it. Initially, I had, I guess you could say, had this at the top of my list, but as I studied, you know, there's one more if that I wanted to present tonight. And that's this: if we can remember his voice. You know, sometimes continuing may not be what you're able to do at the moment. Maybe there's a moment that's not really a lack of faith, but you're having trouble just releasing and trusting. You're not dealing with the situation well. Can I challenge us not to forget his voice? Not to forget what he said. Paul looked back. He could remember a night the Lord stood by him and he said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou also bear witness in Rome." He already knew where he was going. And though the road might get rough and rocky, he knew. There's something that I'm sure you've all heard it, but something that of late that I've had to re-challenge myself with in times of difficulty. Brother Brian, and that's this: don't forget in the darkness what he's spoken to you in the light. You know, in those dark times, it sometimes doesn't make sense. I mean, when you're in church on Sunday, it's easy to worship God. It's easy to join into the atmosphere. It's when you're laying in bed at night with the troubles and trials kind of piling on you. And I was reading something in Reader's Digest and talked about that when your mind kind of plays tricks. I'm sure everybody has that problem. You lay down and then all of a sudden things start flooding in. Sometimes it don't make any sense, but they just start piling in and you start trying to figure things out. And you know, sometimes it's that way spiritually. We lay down at night and it seems like all these things, these emotions, these difficulties, these fears that we have come flooding in. You know, the last words of that poem were, "My son." And if we can remember nothing else tonight, remember we're his. We're his child. Whatever else we may be facing, whatever else we may be going through, we are his and he is our father. Tonight, if music could come, if there's anyone here who would admit that maybe you've been living in an if-only world, you've been through struggles and you thought, if only this could go away, or if only that, I don't know if it could be spiritual, I don't know if it's emotional, I don't know if it's physical, but if you've been in a situation in your life where you continue to say, if only this could have changed, if only this wouldn't have happened, and if only I could be in this situation or whatever it is, and I don't want to get specific. You fill in the blanks with your trials, your sin, your sickness, maybe your temptation, your infirmities the pastor's been preaching about. I want to challenge us tonight. If you've been in a situation where you feel like you've been saying, if only this could have changed, let's look to him and say, not if only, but if I can continue, Sister Norvell, if I can remember his voice, there's still hope. could we come tonight? I just want to make a general call. I don't want to ask anyone to step out. I know some of these situations, I know how I was. It was horribly embarrassing for a long time. But let's come together as a church. And if you've been in that situation, I challenge you to cry out to Him. I can promise you He's going to answer. Let's come tonight, church.